Delighted to welcome back for a new segment here on Sunday's Weekend Breakfast, a new news segment, no less. Daily Maverick and Business Day columnist Ishmael Lakhadian, who's going to be taking us through some of the stories that have been making headlines this week and also this morning. Morning, Ishmael. Lovely to have you back with us.
Good morning. Good morning. I was so intrigued by that the story about the model who was live streaming. It reminded me of a something in a very early incarnation when I was a journalist before I went off to academia and now that I'm a columnist again, where I photographed. I was a freelance photographer, press photographer, and photojournalist. Mm. I photographed the first underwater birth in South Africa. Yes, and I thought the mother and child, and it was fascinating. I think it was 1985 or 87. And so it just reminded me of that. But,
gosh,
you know,
how interesting is that? Did you keep the pictures? Were they yours to keep?
No. It was either the Sunday Star or the Saturday Star or for the Sunday Tribune. I think it was for the Sunday Star. You know, it was then. It wasn't. You know, it
so
was
that baby would be about 35 years old now.
Thank you for reminding me how old I am.
But, oh, dear.
As I say, we've actually had a good week in the news. We've had a good news, you know, with President Ramaphosa's announcement of the 100-megawatt cap for better generation, Praveen Gordon's announcement of a 51% sale of South African Airways. And then there's a very interesting thing. Some investigative journalists are talking about age of accountability, especially because some of the VBS money is quietly being repaid. McKinsey's repaying money. So it's been a fairly good week.
It has been a fairly good week. Let's zone in then on President Cyril Ramaphosa's announcement that businesses will now be allowed to generate power of up to 100 megawatts each without a license. It's a major breakthrough in private electricity provision, isn't it?
It is. It's also a significant policy shift towards power generation outside state-owned public. You know, we talk about private corporations, but you and I can now also generate electricity and just feed it back. What we don't use, feed it into the system. So it's a politically, it's considered a significant slap down of the Department of Mineral and Energy Resources, which dug in at 10 megawatts. But I don't want to make too much of that because I do think that the cabinet work is a collective. But within 60 days, the president will be gazetted to exempt embedded generation projects up to 100 megawatts, exempt people from having to apply. The industry, the mining industry, is really upbeat about this, and the Minerals Council went on to say this development could lead to additional short- and medium-term investment by the industry solely in embedded generation projects.
Not bad timing by the government either, bearing in mind that we hit level four stage four, should I say, stage four of load shedding this week.
Yes, completely. But, you know, I personally think that we will continue with load shedding for at least a year or so. But this is a step in the right direction. So it's a step, you know, it's a politically a good move, and it is also for in business and industry, because business really, you know, we need to be honest about this, that no business, whether big or small, can run without a reliable stream of electricity.
That's
it. I mean, we can't even discuss that, because load shedding, could mean, if we continue with load shedding, we will fail to create at least 200,000 jobs, as a recent this year, as PricewaterhouseCoopers has said in its latest economic outlook. So South Africa's unemployment rate is now the highest in history, Mike Schüssler said, and it's quite depressing. But this is the right move, a political move in the right direction.
We also learned this week that government is selling its major stake in beleaguered, I think that's an understatement, beleaguered SAA, to a consortium. Let's talk about the significance of that, Ishmael.
Well, for me, the significance is that it's offloading a company that has been a drain on the fiscus.
Too long, you know, too long coming, though? Should they not have done this a year, at least a year, 2 years ago?
Well, my view is a lot more harsh than that. My view is that they should have done this much, much earlier. Remember, right. This is the government's first privatization of a state-owned company since the state gave up control of Cellcom in the early 2000s. Mm. So the problem with this is that there will now become the inevitable blowback from the Radical Economic Transformation Group, who will say, who is the Takatso Consortium? Mm-hmm. And it comes week after the airlines, high-profile victims of state capture. You know, all of this has been highlighted in the state capture. But it is also a good political move. And it's more than that, a good industry. But I think it takes South African Airways off the government's books. And that's the achievement we must celebrate here.
So the majority stake is 51%. But, I mean, government could still dispose of more of its ownership stake going forward, isn't it? This isn't necessarily it.
Yes. No, well, the government could do it. But for some reason, and it's universally so, national carriers are some kind of a pride for state, whether you're talking about Lufthansa. Yeah. I personally don't think that a state has any role in airlines. It's just a waste of money. That could be better spent. But it's a step in the right direction. He's opening up. The thing is, Cyril Ramaphosa is now being bolder in his decision making, and that's a good sign.
There was a sort of collective cheer around the country earlier in the week when the Justice Minister announced that an extradition treaty between South Africa and the UAE would enter into force next month. That said, and of course we know that that's where the Guptas are believed to be, in Dubai, we shouldn't expect them to be sort of hopping on the next Emirates flight back from Dubai just yet, should we? It's not quite as simple as that.
SJ, I have a problem with that, in the sense that you don't tell people that we're going to arrest you and then give them time to get away.
Indeed.
Those people have a lot of money, and there are more than 200 countries around the world.
Correct.
They could be anywhere in the world now.
Yeah.
So I just want us to moderate our expectations. But again, the good thing is we're starting to make progress with accountability. And especially this week, you know, the EFF's Floyd Shivambu's brother quietly paid back some of the money that he received from the VBS bank. And you know, he secretly signed a contract admitting to having received 4.5 million rand. So it remains a mystery who bankrolled him. But, you know, we must remember also, I think the Sunday Times reported on the 24th of November 2019 that the VBS loot helped Julius Malema get a 5 million rand house. So it looks like, you know, there's a new era of accountability. And this week also it was announced that what has been described as regiments, which was a Trojan horse for the Guptas, McKinsey was the Trojan horse that carried all of them into the state-owned enterprises, and McKinsey are now have been called upon to pay back, you know, up to 870 million rand. So overall, you know, it looks like things are starting to fall into place. Things are starting to move in the right direction. But we need to just stop, you know, not be too Panglossian, but, you know, just moderate our expectations, because we are still mired in very many political controversies.
We absolutely are. And just to go back, Ishmael, to the Brian Chivambu story. Yes, I mean, it's a move in the right direction. Goody, you know, he's paying back the $4.5 million that was looted from VBS. But it was all this secret signing. And there's a great article by Paulie van Wyk in the Daily Maverick, in which he says, you know, the contract itself and its cloak of secrecy are revealing and damning. And they are. It's this sort of under the table. Yes, I did wrong. There's the money back. We'll speak no more of it. Well, no.
That's very interesting. You know, it's so if I go and break into someone's house and I steal their television, I steal their laptops. All I do is go. You know, if I get bust, I said, oh well, okay, here's it back.
Yeah.
But there was a crime committed.
Absolutely.
A crime has been committed.
Yeah.
So I think that's the natural, logical, well, it should be the logical next step. But, you know, Paulie von and her colleagues, you know, they've been really good at with this. And one wants to be happy. One wants to be, things are moving very slowly. But the good thing is that the national, the director of the public prosecutions, public prosecutor, the NPA director, Shamila Batoy, is finally speaking up and making the right moves. Last week, she wanted to know why Duduzane Zuma has been treated with kid gloves.
Sure.
So it looks like things are moving in the right direction, but we really need to just stay focused and keep the state's feet to the fire.
Agree. Listen, it seems a little, I don't know if it's with appropriate levity that I ask you this question, for ask you to get to weigh in on this, Ishmael, but decouplets, true or false? What's your gut reaction?
My gut reaction? I don't know if I should laugh or cry. Because, you know, for the woman, 10 children, it's inconceivable. It must be really difficult. That is the cry part. The laughter part is, how does an editor of a newspaper publish a story that's cloaked in so much secrecy and then become the spokesperson for the family?
What role is
the editor playing? So my instant reaction is, I don't know if I should laugh or cry.
Yeah, I think you, me and the rest of the country. All right, Ishmael, we've run out of time. Lovely to have you with us. We will chat again next week. Ishmael Akhadian is a Daily Maverick and Business Day columnist who joins us every Sunday morning to unpack some of the top stories which have been making news in South Africa in the past 7 days.